In a world drowning in health advice, Ben Goldacre's Bad Science stands as an essential survival guide.
This isn't just another dry debunking of myths. It's an intellectual adventure that equips you with the tools to spot pseudoscience yourself. From detox foot baths to brain-boosting exercises taught in schools, Goldacre dissects how scientifically sounding nonsense infiltrates our daily lives.
What makes this exploration so compelling is that bad science isn't just misleading, it can be deadly.
When parents avoid vaccines due to unfounded fears, or patients abandon effective treatments for magical thinking, real harm occurs.
The most dangerous aspect isn't just the spectacular frauds, but the constant drip of smaller falsehoods that erode our ability to make informed decisions about our health.
Pseudoscience proponents rarely conduct actual experiments, viewing science as authority rather than method. The Aqua Detox Foot Bath, despite mainstream media promotion, claims to extract toxins through your feet, turning water brown. A simple test reveals this is merely electrolysis, iron electrodes rusting in salt water. When confronted with evidence, practitioners retreat to untestable claims about bioenergetic fields or change explanations entirely. Hopi ear candles demonstrate this pattern. These hollow candles supposedly create mild suction to extract earwax, leaving behind impurities. Yet a candle placed on a table produces identical residue to one used in an ear, simply melted candle wax. Medical literature documents numerous ear injuries from burning wax falling onto eardrums. Detox itself is a cultural invention absent from medical textbooks. It functions as a modern purification ritual, similar to cleansing ceremonies in most religions. In our science-dominated culture, we've merely attached pseudoscientific language to our redemption rituals.
Brain Gym exemplifies the troubling spread of pseudoscience in education. Not just a harmless belief, but an empire of misinformation taught systematically in schools. It promotes physiologically impossible exercises, supposedly enhancing whole brain learning, like drinking water, claiming direct brain absorption, and brain buttons, rubbing below the collarbone to stimulate misplaced carotid arteries. Despite being scientifically baseless, these practices have infiltrated thousands of schools with endorsements from education authorities. The cosmetics industry employs similar tactics. While moisturizers work simply by hydrating skin, something petroleum jelly does effectively, expensive creams add dubious ingredients with elaborate marketing language. Companies misappropriate cellular biology research, implying topical applications can enhance appearance despite skin's impermeability. Even if ingredients could penetrate, the body's homeostatic mechanisms would counteract most claimed effects, as with oxygenating treatments that would actually reduce blood supply. Product labels play a semantic game, avoiding specific claims while suggesting efficacy. This marketing not only sells ineffective shortcuts to health, but promotes the harmful view that science is incomprehensible, particularly damaging to young women underrepresented in sciences. Beauty marketing deliberately creates feelings of inadequacy and confusion, manufacturing problems to sell pseudoscientific solutions.
Homeopathy offers an ideal case study for evidence-based medicine through its simple, easily studied pills. Its fundamental scientific challenge is the dilution problem. Remedies are diluted so extremely, often one part and 10 to the 60th, that no molecules of the original substance remain. When confronted with this impossibility, homeopaths claim water has memory, though physicists have demonstrated water structures last only picoseconds. The empirical question remains, does homeopathy work? In properly controlled trials with sufficient patients, homeopathy performs no better than placebo. Yet the placebo effect itself is remarkable. Pink sugar pills maintain concentration better than blue ones. Capsules outperform identical tablets. Branded packaging enhances effectiveness, and expensive placebos work better than cheap ones. A doctor's words and beliefs measurably influence healing. Research shows placebos trigger genuine physiological changes. Parkinson's patients receiving placebos show increased dopamine release, and pain subjects given placebos release more endorphins. This creates ethical questions. Are homeopathy sugar pills exploitative if they work only as placebo? Or might they sometimes help by harnessing the mind's ability to influence the body?
Our national food obsession has created a profession of nutritionists who mystify diet to foster commercial dependency. Their work often relies on misinterpreting scientific literature, making wild extrapolations from lab data to humans, drawing intervention claims from observational studies, cherry-picking evidence, and sometimes citing non-existent research. With 15 million medical articles and 5,000 monthly journals, selective evidence use becomes dangerously easy. While mainstream medicine addresses this through systematic reviews with explicit search strategies, nutritionists frequently cherry-pick to support their alternative paradigm. The popular claim that antioxidants are universally beneficial illustrates how simplistic thinking distorts complex biochemistry. While theoretically plausible, free radicals can damage cells and antioxidants neutralize them. This view ignores bodily complexity. Free radicals aren't universally harmful. They're essential for immune cells to kill bacteria. When tested in large trials with hundreds of thousands of participants, antioxidant supplements either showed no benefit or actually increased mortality rates. Notice how nutritional advice seems to contradict itself regularly? This isn't science changing its mind, but media highlighting preliminary findings rather than the accumulated weight of evidence. The MMR vaccine controversy exemplifies media incompetence in health reporting. While Andrew Wakefield faces misconduct charges, journalists who drove this story for 9 years share significant blame. They ignored reassuring data, substituted expert quotes for scientific explanation, contrasted emotional parent stories with academic perspectives, and occasionally fabricated information. Wakefield's paper was merely a 12-child case series, incapable of establishing causation, not a controlled study comparing vaccinated and unvaccinated children. Later investigations revealed serious ethical issues, including Wakefield receiving £435,543 plus expenses from legal aid funds tied to vaccine litigation. The media highlighted studies suggesting MMR autism links while ignoring contradictory research. Consequently, MMR vaccination rates fell from 92%.
The greatest tragedy of bad science is its opportunity cost. Political energy that could address pharmaceutical industry problems gets wasted on vitamin pills or vaccine scares. Media that replaces science correspondents with generalists produces sensationalist content with serious consequences, from vaccine avoidance to treatment abandonment. Though evidence interpretation isn't taught in schools, health science affects us all. By learning to evaluate scientific claims critically, we protect ourselves and our communities. This means understanding how science works, distinguishing correlation from causation, recognizing the value of control groups, and identifying cherry-picked evidence. When encountering suspicious health claims, pause and question the supporting evidence. Look for controlled studies over anecdotes, consider financial motivations, and remember that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. This approach protects you from bad science, while helping build a society guided by evidence rather than fear or fantasy.